This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Africa's Ebola epidemic is truly chilling. The death toll has passed 3,000 and continues to rise. Raising alarms in this country, yesterday the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed that a patient in Dallas, Texas, who flew from Liberia to visit family in the U.S., has been confirmed as having Ebola. Meanwhile, affected countries in the middle of the Ebola epidemic are struggling to find doctors and the resources needed to care for the sick. Here in Michigan, the Liberian and West African communities are feeling this crisis in a very personal way. Harolyn Baker is an epidemiologist who's based in Detroit. Thank you for being here, Harolyn.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Martha Toe is the chairperson of the Liberian Association of Michigan. Welcome, Martha.
Thanks for having us.
Harolyn, I saw that just last week alone, there were 113 new cases of Ebola reported in Liberia in only one 24-hour period. Is this the worst health crisis Liberia has ever faced?
This is correct. This is the worst epidemic that Liberia has ever faced. In the 80s, we did have an issue with the Lassa fever, which took us 10 years to clear. But at the rate that Ebola is increasing, which is five times each month the previous case, we think that if this is not controlled, this can impact millions and millions of people.
And you are an epidemiologist, and so you're in the business of looking and predicting health trends. What do you think are the factors that are leading to such an incredible outbreak, the worst ever? Because we've seen Ebola kind of pop up and then go away and then pop up again and settle down again. Mm-hmm. What has led this to become so horrendous?
Well, I think with Liberia, it starts with the health infrastructure. You are dealing with a country in which there are limited hospitals. There are 51 physicians in the entire country. And in Monrovia alone, there's 1.4 million people living in such a small area. So that is the foundation in which you're talking about. Just for everyday care, such as malaria, that can be detrimental. And then couple that with an outbreak like this of this caliber, where you already have a poor infrastructure to begin with. It's just a setup for catastrophe, which is actually occurring right now.
Martha, give us an idea of the size of Liberia compared to, is it akin to Michigan? Can you give us a sense of the size?
Size of Texas.
And how many doctors?
51.
51 doctors.
In the entire country.
Yes. In the whole country. What are you hearing from people at home?
I still have family. About 80% of my family are still there. So when we call our families, they're very devastated. They pretty much, some of them sound like they have given up on life. We, as family in the States, have to just comfort them. Liberians are really, we're God-fearing people. We worship, believe in God. So when I speak to my family, what I tell them, that God is going to be in control. This is just something that's going to pass. So once we convey that to them, that brings comfort to them.
Is your family in the city or are they more on the outskirts?
Oh, they're spread out.
They're spread all
yeah.
over. And is the disease being felt outside of the cities? Is it across the country?
Yes, it is.
That has to be very, very hard for you. Here you are in Michigan and you're on the phone with your loved ones who are on the front lines of one of the worst health disasters the world's ever known.
Yes. When it first started, we feel very helpless. Because, as you know, Liberia, there's no direct flight that can go there directly. And it takes about 24 hours pretty much to get on a plane and go in transit. So it's not like you're going to South Michigan or going North Michigan that you can just get in a car and drive and get there. So that's the hardest part. Because all we can do is talk to them on the phone and try to comfort them on the telephone. But it's not like you can reach and really help.
Now, neither of you, luckily, I was just hearing, have had loved ones or friends directly affected by Ebola, right?
No, luckily. Mm-hmm. But at the rate this is going, the CDC estimated about 1.4 million cases by January without increased intervention. We cannot, say that will hold true at the rate this disease is going right now.
And the global response, we hear a lot of talk from countries all around the world to the Ebola epidemic and promises. But I did see the head of Doctors Without Borders saying the promised surge has not yet delivered. Mm. What are the main needs right now?
The main needs, I would say, are supportive services. And that is why with Liberia, the fatality rate is between 70 to 90%. So basic IV, food. You have, again, when I talked about infrastructure, where poverty is large in part, you have people who have poor nutrition. So with Ebola, the first thing is you have to respond very early. So that means you have to go to the hospital. So when you have transportation as an issue and you have very limited clinics, there's about 3 hospitals in the entire city, and there's no means of treating it. So all of the cases that we've been studying of the success are people who have caught the disease very early, the first day. They have received supportive services such as pain meds. They've received the fluids that they needed, and they were quarantined and isolated in the place where they received the nutrition. That would probably be 1%. At the beginning of this, only 10% of the cases were actually seeking support. Others, because the disease mimics so much, such as malaria, they would misdiagnose as malaria or misdiagnose malaria patients as Ebola. And then sometimes you quarantine both patients in the same room, in the same facility and site. Therefore, the spread of disease, those without Ebola and Ebola were quarantined together. So that is sort of the surface of why this disease spread in Liberia at the rate it did compared to other African countries.
And the caregivers wind up becoming ill.
And just to add to that, also, families that have malaria, like she's saying, they would take them and put them with the Ebola patients. So because of that, a lot of the families are very afraid when they have a headache or if they have any symptoms or diarrhea or anything like that, they will not call to get help because they are afraid that they're going to take them and put them with the Ebola patients. So people are staying home with their families and the disease is spreading. So if one family have it, the rest of the people are going to have the disease as well.
I'm talking with Martha Toe, who's the chairperson of the Liberian Association of Michigan, and she's joined by Harolyn Baker, who's an epidemiologist. She's based in Detroit, representing the Liberian community here in Michigan, and you're trying to rally support and help. What do you want Americans to understand, Martha, about Ebola and about your country?
We want America to understand that our country is a sister country to the United States. It's one of African oldest countries.
I think we want to bring awareness to this issue. There's so much going on in the world right now. And sometimes when a problem is not in your backyard, it's easy to ignore. But the thing with Ebola at the rate it's going, we did see some cases where with the first case that went to Nigeria, that was through a plane ride. The second case to Senegal in which it caught, that was from traveling. So we want to bring the awareness that, you know, at the rate this is going, I mean, we're talking about 5 times each month. In March, we started at 49 cases. By August, it was 3,500. By today, the CDC is reporting it's going to be about 21 cases. By January, we're talking about 1.4 million.
You said 21 cases.
21,000 cases. And 1.4 million. So at the rate it's going, we want to take precaution right now. What we're asking the community to do is just to provide any support that they can provide. Right now, there's a lot of supplies going to Liberia, but given the infrastructural issues with Liberia, the ports are backed up. And so there's financial need as well. So with this, you have hospitals that are closed because of the issue. So where do people go to get prenatal care, safety net care? You know, women are still having babies. Children still need the care. So to support, to also provide financial support for food, nutritional support as well. The need is great. And wherever people can find in which they can connect and support, the country needs any support that the international community can provide them.
And I'm sure they desperately need medical professionals to come and help, because I know that there have been courageous people, doctors and nurses and support staff on the front lines who have actually caught Ebola and died trying to fight this battle. How can people help? What would be some of the best ways? I did see your phone number was actually listed in the newspaper story about this. What would be a good way for people to be able to, who want to help, to be able to do so?
Well, we have a GoFundMe page. So people are donating financial support. And then we also take in donations of items that we also had in the newspaper.
Give us an idea of the items you
gloves,
need.
Gloves, gowns, medical supplies, Clorox.
Bleach.
Bleach, yeah.
Antibacterial soap, and,
anything sanitation, that you think. So.
What are your biggest fears, Herolyn, as far as what could be happening in Liberia and in West Africa and then beyond?
My biggest fear is already happening now. I think this epidemic has gone far beyond what we've expected already. The first 100 cases were enough. The first 5 cases were enough. And now we're talking about 6,000 and almost 21,000 cases by today. So I think the continued growth of this and the spreading of this to other countries is the biggest fear. And also, children are not in schools right now. They've been out of school for almost 6 months and not going back. And if you know anything about Liberia, which has got a 14-year civil war, to keep children out of school for a full year, we don't know what sort of impact that is having on them as well. And then reintegration. So once someone is cured from this, how do you reintegrate them into their communities in which people are not fearful that they will harm them? So there's a holistic, comprehensive approach, strategy that needs to be thought about to sort of alleviate us from the country from this issue moving forward.
It sounds, Martha, to like a very, very long tunnel, and I don't think you're seeing a light at the end of that tunnel at this point, are you?
It's fun, but yes, I don't see a light.
Is it hard to keep faith?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. But we all know with God, anything is possible. So I know, like Herolyn said, we've been through 14 years of war, and we're able to get out of that. God can take care of Ebola, and I know he will.
But if you get some help from people around the world, like right here in Michigan, that'll all be very good.
That would be perfect, yes.
We have contact information for the Liberian Association of Michigan and Martha and the funding page up on our website. Just go to michiganradio.org and you can click on the link that says Stateside. Martha Toe and Herolyn Baker, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with
us
today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.